This is Radio Romania International. You are listening to our one-hour broadcast in English for listeners in Western Europe and Africa. We can also be heard on the internet at www.ri.ro, Channel 1. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and other social media platforms. Our programs are also available on TuneIn, Radio Romania International 1, and in Europe via satellite Eutelsat 16A on 11,512 MHz, vertical polarization, azimuth 16 degrees east. We wish you good reception conditions.
Welcome, I'm Mihaela Ignatescu with the news, the headlines. Romania celebrates 167 years since the Union of the Principalities, with festivities across the country. The Romanian government wants to take responsibility in Parliament for the reform of local and central public administration, together with economic recovery measures before February the 1st. And Romania is participating as a guest of honor in the Cairo International Book Fair. Romanian President Nicuș Ordan has stated today in Focșan, eastern Romania, that we live in a society where there is confusion about values and that it is our duty to fight for truth, science and knowledge. He visited the Unirea National College, where he presented the institution's management with the Order of Merit for Education in the rank of commander. The head of state is participating in Focșan in the celebrations dedicated to the 167th anniversary of the Union of the Romanian Principalities. On this occasion, the Ministry of National Defense, together with local authorities, is organizing military and religious ceremonies in several cities across the country. January 24, 1859 is the moment when Romanians, with the support of France, decided to unite Moldavia and Wallachia in a favorable external context after Russia lost the Crimean War. The generation of 1848 opted for Romania's orientation towards the West, and Romanians elected Alexandru Ioan Cuza, first on January 5th in Iași as ruler of Moldavia, and then on January 24th in Bucharest as ruler of Wallachia. The political will of the principalities of Moldavia and Wallachia to unite represented the first step in the creation of the modern Romanian unitary state. International recognition of the Union and the measures adopted in the following years led to Romania's independence in 1877-78 and the fulfillment of the national ideal of uniting all Romanians in 1918. The Romanian government wants to take responsibility in Parliament for reforming local and central public administration, together with economic recovery measures, before February the 1st, Prime Minister Ilie Bolojan said. The administration reform corrects budgetary imbalances, stimulates performance, and decentralizes decisions to local authorities, he explained. In an interview with Radio Romania, the Prime Minister said that regardless of what happens in the coming period, the budget should be adopted as quickly as possible under normal conditions, and an important component will focus on investments. The head of government said that Romania's GDP in 2026 could exceed 400 billion euros, the deficit could approach 6%, and inflation could be just over 4%. Prime Minister Ilie Bolojan also said that the budget has not been adopted yet because the package on administrative reform did not have the support of all parties in the governing coalition. The European External Action Service, the EU's diplomatic service, has raised questions about the broad powers of US President Donald Trump in his new Board of Peace, according to Reuters. The White House chief has urged world leaders to join his initiative, the Board of Peace, which aims to resolve conflicts globally. The board's charter raises a concern under the EU's constitutional principles, and the autonomy of the EU's legal order also militates against a concentration of powers in the hands of the chairman, the bloc's diplomatic arm said. The new board, recently launched by the U.S. president, is chaired for life by Donald Trump and is set to start by addressing the conflict in Gaza, then expand its remit to deal with other conflicts. Member states are limited to 3-year terms unless they each pay $1 billion to finance the board's activities and obtain permanent membership. Several EU member states, including France and Spain, have announced that they will not join. Hungary and Bulgaria, on the other hand, have signed the founding charter of the Board of Peace, agreeing to pay $1 billion. In Romania, President Nicu Jordan has announced that he is analyzing the proposal. So far, 35 countries, including Israel, Turkey, Saudi Arabia and Egypt, have agreed to join the board. Romania is participating until February 3rd as a guest of honor in the 57th edition of the Cairo Book Fair, the most important event of its kind in the Arab world and Africa, thus marking 120 years of diplomatic relations with Egypt. The agenda includes approximately 30 events and brings together over 60 guests from Romania and abroad, authors, publishers, translators, and professionals in the cultural field. Romania's presence is built around a comprehensive and diverse program that highlights contemporary literature, cultural dialogue, translation, academic research, cultural diplomacy, heritage and education, bringing together authors, researchers, translators, publishers, artists and cultural professionals from Romania and Egypt, along with diplomats, former diplomats and Romanian academic figures. In this context, Romanian Minister of Culture Demeter Andraș met with his Egyptian counterpart Ahmed Hano in Cairo, and the two officials agreed to sign a memorandum of understanding on cultural cooperation. That was the news.
Coming up next, the week in review.
Welcome to the week in review. Today with me, Cristina Mateescu. Concerned with the US President Donald Trump's increasingly vocal insistence to acquire Greenland, European Union leaders met urgently at the end of the week to find solutions to counter Trump's annexationist appetite. The summit, which was also attended by Romanian President Nicu Jordan, was held despite Trump's announcement in Davos that he would not use force to annex Greenland. Moreover, he abandoned the idea of imposing new customs tariffs on the states that voiced their support for Denmark and the Arctic island. In the run-up to the summit, the Romanian president called for softening the tone and restoring diplomatic dialogue between the transatlantic partners. European leaders said the relationship with the United States is too important, so they were willing to overcome this tense episode. The president of the European Council, Antonio Costa, said, however, that the bloc expects this strategic ally to behave with the same respect and cordiality as the Union in the future. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, praised the solidarity shown by the Union with Denmark and Greenland. On the other hand, she acknowledged that the Union must focus more on the security of the Arctic region and announced a doubling of investments in Greenland. The possibility to use defense funding to create a European fleet of icebreakers, as well as coordination with NATO to better protect the region. President Nicu Jordan has announced that he has begun an in-depth analysis of the content and implications of joining the Board of Peace Charter, an initiative launched by Donald Trump and to which Romania was also invited. This assessment aims to establish the degree of compatibility of the new initiative with Romania's existing commitments, especially within the United Nations and the European Union. At the same time, the Romanian authorities will look to identify the best ways in which Romania can contribute to achieving the goal of consolidating peace in the world. Donald Trump on Thursday launched the Board of Peace, which was initially designed to contribute to ending the war in Gaza, but which he now sees as having a broader role, which has led to fears in Europe and beyond that it could rival or undermine the United Nations. Trump, who will chair the Council, has invited dozens of world leaders to join, not all of them from democratic regimes. Traditional US allies in Europe, such as Great Britain, France and the Nordic states, have already declined the invitation to participate in this new body. Without raising taxes, there is solid basis for recovery this year. The announcement that all Romanians were waiting for came from Prime Minister Ilie Bolojan, who is generally reserved when it comes to good news. According to the Prime Minister, the government is working on a draft budget for 2026 on realistic foundations. The deficit target is just over 6% and will be finalized in the coming period. Inflation will fall towards 4%. The objective is to create a budget that boosts recovery and investment, the Prime Minister emphasized. He explained that over 15 billion euros will come from European funds through the National Recovery and Resilience Plan and the Cohesion Policy, and the money will be channeled into infrastructure, the economy and better public services. At the end of the month, the government is to take responsibility in Parliament for legislation to restrict state spending in public administration and support economic recovery, with the state budget to be adopted later. I know that right now the negative effects of the measures to cut the deficit are felt in everyday life. From the coming months, following the recovery measures adopted and the healthier economic basis, Romania's economy will enter a recovery path, Ilie Bolojan pointed out. Romania's population must be prepared for various crisis situations, such as fires, earthquakes or floods, including supporting a war effort. The statement belongs to the Chief of the Defense Staff, General Gheorghiță Vlad, and was made on Tuesday in Sibiu at a press conference alongside General Alexis Grinkiewicz, head of the Allied Forces in Europe. Vlad added that the Romanian Army is also running training programs alongside the General Inspectorate for Emergency Situations, and announced that Romania will soon have a functional anti-drone system from the United States, which will contribute to the defense of the country's airspace. Supreme Allied Commander Europe and Commander of the United States European Command, General Alexis Grinkiewicz, visited the multinational corps southeast in Sibiu in central Romania and expressed his deep gratitude for Romania's commitments to the alliance. He said Russia was discouraged from attacking NATO on the eastern flank due to the level of training of the Romanian army. He gave assurances that the strategic partnership between Romania and the United States of America is very strong and will continue, despite the U.S. withdrawing some of its military deployed here. The Romanian men's handball side left Euro 2026 following three defeats to one of the host countries, Denmark, and to Portugal and North Macedonia. These poor results sadly confirm that for the Romanian men's national team, once world champions, merely qualifying for a final tournament is the only achievable goal right now. Things are not better in Romanian football either, as champions FCSB lost 4-1 to the Croatian side Dinamo Zagreb in an away match on Thursday evening, and now only have theoretical chances of advancing to the next stage of the Europa League. And that was the Week in Review.
Focus on Romania.
Time now for Hit of the Day on Radio Romania International. Recognized worldwide as one of the most successful artists with over 10 billion views and downloads online, Ina constantly collaborates with Romanian artists, not just internationally known names such as Sean Paul or Pitbull. So today we invite you to listen to her alongside Florian Rus, whose warm and introspective vocal tone complements Ina's expansive energy. So let's listen to the recently released single, 7 Days.
De șapte zile nu știu de tine, de șapte zile fără iubire, și tot aștept să-mi treacă, dar amintiri mă neacă, și șapte zile parcă au fost o viață.
Tu nu te plângeai că iar e luni, ziceau vecinii că suntem nebuni. Că marți și miercuri n-auzeau prin dormitor cum ne alergam din joia, din iubire, nu ne
opream. Și vinerea ne apuca iar dorul.
Sâmbătă nu ne-am fi gândit
că a doua zi se schimbă viitorul.
Se face azi o săptămână fix.
De șapte zile nu știu de tine, de șapte zile fără iubire. Și tot aștept să-mi treacă, dar amintiri mă neacă. Și șapte zile parcă au fost o viață.
De șapte zile nu știu de tine, de șapte zile fără iubire. Și tot zic o să-mi treacă, jur inima încearcă. Dar șapte zile parcă au fost o viață.
Visam, puteam zâmbi. Dorm de șapte zile sau de viață, nu mai știu. Aiurea trece vremea când pierd totul într-o zi. Și calendarul meu pornește doar dacă ai venit tu. Vinerea ne apuca iar dorul.
Sâmbătă nu ne-am fi gândit
că a doua zi se schimbă viitorul. Se face azi o viață, zi mai știu.
De șapte zile nu știu de tine, de șapte zile fără iubire. Aștept să-mi treacă, dar amintiri mă neacă. Și șapte zile parcă au fost o viață.
De șapte zile nu știu de tine, de șapte zile fără iubire. Și tot zic o să-mi treacă, jur inima încearcă. Dar șapte zile parcă au fost o viață.
You are listening to Radio Romania International.
World of Culture. Welcome, I'm Mihaela Ignatescu. Today we bring you a short interview with director Andrei Epure, co-writer alongside Ana Gheorghe of the film Don't Let Me Die. Premiered at Locarno in the section dedicated to new voices in cinema, the film deliberately explores an area of ambiguity, oscillating between arthouse horror and an absurd comedy about death, a combination that defines the irreverent humor present in other screenplays by Andrei Epure. In Don't Let Me Die, the director expands on the story from Interphone 15, presented in 2021 at La Semaine de la Critique, a section of the Cannes Film Festival, exploring in his feature film debut a world where the line between absurdity and human fragility is becoming increasingly blurred. Filmed over 26 days in Eforie, Mangalia, Neptun, Olymp and Bucharest, Don't Let Me Die follows the efforts of Maria, played by Cosmina Stratan, who tries to organize the funeral of her enigmatic neighbor, Isabella, played by Elina Levinson. A humane gesture throws her into a maze of bureaucracy, strange encounters and oppressive silences. The story in Don't Let Me Die was born from a memory of co-writer Ana Gheorghe about a lonely neighbor who died near her home. Essentially, the film is a cry against oblivion, says Ana Gheorghe, who is also the film's producer. We talked with Andrei Epure about how he constructed the portrait of the main character in Don't Let Me Die and about his sources of inspiration.
Mă interesa cum aș putea să portretizez în absență pe cineva care...
I was interested in how I could portray someone in their absence, that is, a person who becomes more present after death than they were in life. In a somewhat simplistic way, post-mortem is the only way you can build a portrait of someone, because death offers finality, and this finality allows us to draw conclusions, even if they are still based on fragmentary observations. For example, the portrait of the character Isabella is made up of just a few elements. She talked to trees, she had two dogs, she was a teacher of Latin, and she had a child. I was also interested in what the mysterious life of an enigmatic character might leave behind. In this case, what remains after this woman's death are two dogs. What can the two dogs convey to the woman in her absence? I try to explore this, what remains after someone's death. I was also attracted to this subject because it is related to my childhood. I grew up in Gorj, in Alimpesht, and I can say that I had a very special relationship with my grandmother and great-grandmother. Among other things, it was a film made out of a desire to communicate with animals, but also with my childhood memories. Andrea Pure also told us how the story in Don't Let Me Die oscillates between several registers and how this stylistic ambiguity reflects his artistic intentions.
Acum îl văd un film care cumva la limită și cred că asta e.
Now I see it as a film set on the edge, and I think that's the best way to describe it. I'm referring to a liminal zone, somewhere between realism and fantasy, between comedy and horror. A combination that I suspect can be disturbing. Even the comical moments are somewhat uncomfortable. It's not always clear if or when you should laugh. Sometimes you can't tell what the director or screenwriter's intention was. In short, you don't know if those sequences were directed to provoke laughter or to create a different sensation. I didn't go to the screening in Bucharest at Le Film de Cana Bucharest because it's hard for me to go to screenings. But I heard from those who did go that there was laughter at moments when I wouldn't have expected it. I think the audience felt the need for a form of liberation, of relaxation. It was as if people were asking themselves, what does this film want from me? And I really like that. There was also this intention to make a film that starts out realistic and then opens up to other areas. I would call them transcendental or surreal. I applied this false dichotomy throughout the film, both in terms of style and tone, including the sound design. In other words, the story somehow always remains in an intermediate stage. Produced by Saga Film, the movie Don't Let Me Die brings up a pretty alarming issue. People who live alone. According to the study Dimensions of Loneliness conducted by the Never Alone Friends of the Elderly Association, in partnership with Kantar Romania, more than half of the elderly in urban areas in Romania face loneliness, and nearly 300,000 of them feel it very strongly. Beyond the fictional story, the film brings to light an ignored reality in Romania, lives that fade away in silence. Neighbors we only discover when they are gone, people who only become visible at the moment of death. In this context, the partnership with the association supports a common mission, to bring the issue of elderly isolation back into the spotlight and encourage the public to get actively involved. The organization urges viewers of the film to become volunteers, to offer support, time and companionship to those who live alone. Small gestures that can change lives. You have been listening to World of Culture. Radio Romania International Encyclopedia.
Welcome, I'm Anna Maria Popescu. And to the visible layer of today's Bucharest and the capital city's surroundings lie much older traces of human habitation, which predate the emergence of the modern city by thousands of years. Archaeologists are interested in these invisible layers, which preserve evidence of extinct civilizations, capable of giving us an essential perspective on the beginnings of human life in this area.
Vasile Opriș, head of the Bucharest City Museum's History Section, tells us more about it.
În jurul Bucureștiului există mai multe straturi așternute așa sub...
Around Bucharest there are several layers lying under garbage in certain areas, under grass or mud in other areas. What interests us as archaeologists and me in particular are those layers that also contain traces of human civilizations that were once here and about which we no longer know much. If we discover them and bring them to light, we will surely find out what was happening in this area at a time when the city was not actually a city, when we did not have blocks of flats nor the agglomerations and congestion that we know today. I believe that these beginnings are very good for introspection in the increasingly hectic world of today. So, following in the footsteps of archaeologists who already had this vision almost a century ago and tried to bring to light what was in Bucharest or in the vicinity before the city existed, I started a documentary work on some prehistoric settlements that date back approximately 7,000 years, a period difficult to comprehend for anyone, including myself, in spite of being familiar with such scales of history. 7,000 years means a lot on a human scale. As an idea, Bucharest, as we know it today, was first attested in documents 500 years ago. If we add another 6,500, we are getting close to the period we are talking about now. The archaeological research in Glina targets ancient settlements that are approximately 7,000 years old, known as tells. Some of these sites have been partially researched in the past, but were later abandoned and are today in danger due to urban expansion. Several cultural and academic institutions have started a school site combining classical archaeological digging with modern methods such as drone scanning, geophysical surveys, and lab tests. Vasile Opriș explains.
Aceste situri, cum spuneam, sunt deja oarecum cunoscute, au fost și cercetate o parte din obiecte.
These sites, as I was saying, are already known to a certain extent. Some of these items have been researched and some of them stories have been published or in deposits or even in some exhibitions, but they have not been researched in recent years. They have been abandoned and poorly preserved. And in addition, they are in imminent danger of destruction due to the accelerated expansion of the city. So we set out to assess them and try to get some more information, especially since, fortunately, 21st century archaeology benefits from tools and methods that are much superior to what could be done 50 or 100 years ago. And in order to see what we can do and have a concrete approach, this year we started work at a site southeast of Bucharest, between the villages of Glina and Bolochanka, a place that everyone has heard not exactly positive things about. But I think this is precisely what makes the site stand out even more. It is a mound, as I said, partly man-made. The settlements that we study are called tells. As I said, there are successive layers there formed by human habitation superimposed over about 3 to 4 meters. The Bucharest City Museum, jointly with the University of Bucharest, the National Museum of History of Romania, and the Vasile Pârvan Institute of Archaeology, are the 4 institutions with which we started this endeavor. I am the scientific manager, and we also started a school site there, as we call it, because it is also open to the students of the University of Bucharest. Another goal of these efforts is to protect and preserve what we have for future generations, but we also included classical archaeological digging, because this is what gives you the most results. We're also interested in collecting samples, especially since now we also have access to a lot of lab tests that can bring you a lot of information about those people, about what they ate and where they got their food, DNA tests to see where they had come from, who they were related to, what part of the world these people had come from or how long they had been here, and how they developed. This was one of the first Neolithic cultures in this part of Romania. After that, in the early Bronze Age, that is about 5,000 years ago, there came a population that is quite mysterious to us now. And this is one of the reasons we started digging here. It dates back to the early Bronze Age, and this culture took its name from this very settlement. It is called the Glina culture, about which few things are known today. The goal of this archaeological project in Glina is not only to recover the past, but also to protect it for future generations.
You are listening to Radio Romania International.
Next in this broadcast, it's Truly Romanian. Welcome, I'm Mihaela Ignatescu. On the 24th of January, Romanians celebrate the 1859 Union of the Romanian Principalities. Shortly after, Alexandru Ioan Cuza became ruler of Moldavia and Wallachia. So today we will be playing for you tunes celebrating this important moment in Romania's history. To start with, here is Cuza's Brown Dance performed by Angelica Flutur.
Fete-o-mbătrânit, mulți
we invite you to listen to a tune performed by Ioan Cristian Țăran, entitled This is the Greater Romania.
Știu de la strămoșă mei, să văd cine îndrăznește să-mi ia zestrea de la ei. Asta-i România mare, ne-am unit între hotare, Dumnezeu de noi grijește, de rău ne ferește. Ne-ai dat nouă, Doamne, c-am fost binecuvântați. După muncă strângem rode și-ntre noi ne zicem frați. Asta-i România mare, ne-am unit între hotare, Dumnezeu de noi grijește, de rău ne ferește. Renaște în orice clipă, minte ageră avem, și nu ne duc în ispită cei ce vin cu gând nedemn. Asta-i România mare, ne-am unit între hotare, Dumnezeu de noi grijește, de rău ne ferește. Au rămas mărăturie că suntem din veșnicii, și oricât ar și să fie sub cruce vom birui. Asta-i România mare, ne-am unit între hotare, Dumnezeu de noi grijește, de rău ne ferește. Asta-i România mare, ne-am unit între hotare, Dumnezeu de noi grijește, de rău ne ferește.
Thousands of Romanians gather at the Romanian celebration held every year in Alba Iulia on the occasion. In the end of today's musical celebration, here is Mariana Stănescu with a tune from Bihor titled From Ancient Times.
Avem mărturie de la lumea veche, despre dacii liberi, neam fără pereche. Din vremuri străvechi, valac au fost și sunt, de la graci gelul ame numărut. Din vremuri străvechi, valac au fost și sunt, de la glași gelul ame numărut. Haideți, frați români,
prindem toții într-o horă mare, ardea lumea.
patră străbună, de la Prut la Nistru, un cântec răsună. Basarabia e patră străbună. Hai dați frați români la această sărbătoare, să ne prindem toții într-o horă mare. Bănățeni olteni și voi dobrogeni, ardeleni munteni și voi moldoveni, Dumnezeu din cer să ne ocrotească, în vei să trăiască vița strămoșească.
Living Romania. This is Bucharest Radio Romania International. Listener's Letterbox.
Hello, I'm Mihaela Ignatescu, welcoming you to a fresh installment of our Mailbag program, where you can share your thoughts on our broadcast and ask questions through letters and emails on any aspect of Romanian reality, culture, history, and civilization. I would like to start by reminding you that Radio Romania International has continued to develop its own podcast platform, which can be accessed at www.romaniainternational.radio. New podcasts have been added to the offer, namely Romania at the Olympic Games and stories from the world of Romanian sport in the Romanian language, Guest of the Day on Radio Romania International in English, and Medite Radio, a co-PM production in Italian. The platform features podcasts mainly in audio format, but also video from Radio Romania International's own production, as well as co-productions in which Radio Romania International was involved in the Romanian, English, French, Spanish, and Italian languages. Radio Romania International's website, ri.ro, on the pages in the aforementioned languages, includes banners with links to the Radio Romania International podcast platform on the .radio domain. So we are looking forward to your feedback on these podcasts. Now let's see what messages we have received from our listeners the previous week. Our friend Hans Werner Lolike wrote, "Dear friends at Radio Romania International, I so hope you got my Christmas and New Year card that I posted by ordinary mail. Postal service has been privatized. The government dissolved the postal company and gave it to a private company. We don't know what is happening with our old-fashioned letters, but we hope for the better. Anyway, we'll at least start my first letter in the new year and wish you a happy new year with good working conditions for the whole radio. All of you, good health and lot of good news about Romania to be transmitted. As you can see, your 2130 UTC broadcast is very well heard, where I live near to our capital, Copenhagen. Shortwave is a fantastic bridge between people. Thanks for all your EQSLs in 2025, hoping for 2026. Best and warmest wishes to all of you." End of quote. Thank you so much, Mr. Lolike, for your card and for your lovely words. We too wish you a great year and we hope that you will keep listening to our programs in good health. Shortwave is indeed a fantastic bridge and we hope it will remain strong for a very long time. As far as QSLs are concerned, we do have new electronic QSL cards this year about the casino in Constanța, and you will soon get yours. Looking forward to hearing from you again soon. Traveling to Japan now, from where Teruhiko Kachi of Kitaku Nagoya wrote, "Dear Radio Romania International English Service staff, it is currently winter in the Northern Hemisphere, and Japan is of course in winter too. How are you all keeping? The reception condition of your station's shortwave broadcast to Japan is not as good as last winter. Even so, I try to listen to your station on shortwave as much as possible. Among recent programs, the Voices from the Archives, featuring two Asian scholars of Romanian literature in connection with the Romanian National Culture Day, proved particularly interesting. I was especially delighted to hear the voice of the late Sumiya Haruya, the Japanese literary scholar who translated Mihai Eminescu's poems into Japanese. Looking around the world, a heavy atmosphere pervades many places. Amidst this, I look forward to your station continuing to deliver fair and wide-ranging coverage. Today, I am sending you this month's reception report. Please find the attached PDF. With my best wishes, yours sincerely, Teru. End of quote. Thank you so much for your report and for your continuous interest in our shows. We are sorry to hear that the reception conditions are not as good as they were last year. We hope it's just temporary. Our technical team will look into it. As for the weather, although Romania is now entering a milder spell, we have just come out of several weeks of truly severe cold, an old-fashioned winter we hadn't seen in years. Temperatures dropped sharply, snow-covered cities and countryside alike, and for a while daily life slowed under a blanket of white. It was striking to feel winter return in full force after so many gentle seasons, but it was also nice to have our celebrations against a whiter and colder background, just as we used to when we were children. And speaking of celebrations, Bidhan Chandra Sanyal of West Bengal, India, wrote to us about a special festival celebrated in that part of the world. Here is an excerpt from his letter. Push Sankrati or Makar Sankrati is a special festival day in Bengali culture. This festival is celebrated on the last day of the Bengali month of Push. On this day, Bengalis organize various events. Eating different types of pita and flying kites are among the most prominent activities. In 2026, Makar Sankrati will be on January 14th. In various countries around the world, especially in South Asia, festivals are celebrated around this time. Anyway, congratulations and best wishes to all of you on the occasion of Makar Sankranti. End of quote. Thank you so much for this, Mr. Sanyal. It's very interesting to hear about your customs and traditions. We hope that you had a lovely Makar Sankranti and that the new year will bring you good health and joy. It was a nice surprise to receive a message from a very young listener from Ukraine. Here is what he wrote. Dear Radio Romania International team, my name is Eric. I am an 11-year-old radio listener from Spain. I am writing to you because I have successfully tuned into your Ukrainian language broadcast on 5955 kHz using my Codosen DX286 receiver and a serial boomerang antenna. I am currently working on a personal challenge to collect 60 physical QSL cards from international broadcasters. I would be very proud to include a postal QSL card from Radio Romania in my collection to verify this reception. If possible, I would like also to receive a postcard. I'm also collecting them. End of quote. Thank you very much, Eric, for taking the time to write to us. It is great to hear from an 11-year-old radio listener in Spain, and we are glad you could hear our broadcast on the right frequency. Congratulations on your successful reception and on your impressive radio setup. We are happy that you enjoy collecting QSL cards and postcards. At the moment, unfortunately, Radio Romania International issues only electronic QSLs, so we are not able to send physical cards or souvenirs by post. If you would like an electronic QSL to verify your reception, we will gladly email it to you. You can also listen to our broadcast in English, and you can find all the information about our schedule and ways to listen on our website, rri.ro. We would be very happy to have you as part of our audience. Thank you again for writing to us, and we hope that radio will continue to be a fun adventure for you. Mr. Howard Barnett of Northampton, England, also sent us a brief message saying, "Thank you very much for the information about the musical artist that I inquired about, which was featured on All That Jazz show back in December 2025. It is very much appreciated. I hope that everyone at Radio Romania International have a safe and enjoyable 2026. Thank you, Mr. Barnett, for your wishes. All the best to you too in the new year, and we hope you will enjoy as many shows in our programs as possible. That's about all we have had time for today. Thank you all for writing or just listening to us. And don't forget that we are looking forward to reading your letters, exchanging opinions and answering any question you may have on Romania in listeners' letterbox every year. I'm Mihaela Ignatescu. Thank you for listening.
Focus on Romania. Coming up next on Radio Romania International. Simply Folk.
Hello and welcome to Simply Folk. I invite you to listen to Andra Matei with a dance song.
Our broadcast in English for listeners in Western Europe and Africa has come to an end. You can listen to our next program for Western Europe at 1800 hours UTC on 9570 kHz in the DRM system or on 9770 kHz when you cannot listen to the English language broadcasts on the usual frequency. Listeners in Africa can receive our programs tomorrow at 1200 hours UTC on 21470 kHz or on 17770 kHz when you cannot listen to the English language broadcast on the usual frequency. We can also be heard on the internet at ri.ro channel 1. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write an email at engl@ri.ro. Goodbye.